Does this song make you happy? Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I was listening to John Williams, and he had that list that was published today of the songs that people identify as the saddest songs, the happiest songs, the songs that motivate you. That song from Katrina and the Waves is one of the songs that apparently makes you happy. For me, I agree with John. It's, you know, it's Pharrell's Happy. That's what certainly picks me up. And all of those lists, when it comes to song choices, that's really individual. I think everybody could argue some of the... We'll look it up for you. We'll share some of those. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on the text line. 312 just said, Suri is Tom Cruise's daughter. Guest from CNET tried to correct you, Lisa, but you didn't catch it. Because I do say Suri and I don't say Siri. But you know what? When I talk to my phone, they still answer, or she answers. Now it's all going to be gender neutral, so it might not even be a female voice anymore. 269, after a while, no one cares what someone else pays for gas. Let's hear more about why people are paying more for gas. Any of these people against trying to push back against Putin? Those that are should put themselves, instead of complaining about gas prices. So we did speak with one of our News Nation correspondents, the DC bureau chief, and he did address all of that. That's one of our first guests, and that will be turned into a podcast if you would like to actually listen to it on WGNradio.com. 219 said, yes, right now I am driving on sunshine. And Bill Snyder, we have you to thank for that, right? Didn't you order the sunshine today? Oh, I'm just trying to find... Oh, there he is. There you are, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well, Lisa. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous day. You should talk to Tom Skilling on Tuesdays. Bill's filling in for him today. It's sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company. Is that true or no? Okay, Permaseal Basement Systems. I'll get it all right here. It is a gorgeous day. But yeah. Bill, you said something happened over the weekend that had never happened in Chicago before.
You know what, Lisa? We had quite a weather ride over the weekend and into early the start of this week. You know, we had on Saturday our first 70-degree temperature. The temperature hit 71 degrees at Midway Airport. And lo and behold, 2 days later, beyond that 70, we recorded 2.9 inches of snow at O'Hare yesterday and 1.1 inches at Midway. And checking through the records, now we have weather records for our full Chicago stations that go back to 1871. Our snowfall records go back to the 1880s. But when looking just at Midway Airport, which is solid weather data for one site, the observation site in Chicago has moved around multiple times since observations began, and of course O'Hare is our official site right now, and it's been that way since 1980. But if you just look at Midway since 1928, we have never had a 70 degree temperature at this early into the season, whether that be in February or in the first half of March, and followed that up with an inch or more snow 2 days beyond that 70 degree temperature. So this is really, I mean, you know, we say March can be a very tumultuous month in terms of our weather in Chicago. It certainly has played that role this past weekend, didn't it?
And I'll tell you why I was surprised to hear that, because it seems like our weather is crazy and that one day it's 70 and the next day it's snowing. But yeah, it is interesting to hear that that has not happened before.
I know. I'll be honest with you, Lisa, when we were digging through the data with one of our meteorological colleagues here at WGN, and we were scratching our head on that one. I was surprised myself, because you're right. We do often see some jarring temperature changes and weather changes at that that can occur this time of the year. But, you know, we've had, of course, the infamous blizzard in 67 where it was 65 degrees. And then a couple of days later, we were crippled by 23 inches of snow. So that certainly was close, but never where it's actually been above 70 degrees and then had, you know, and then an inch or more of snow fell just 2 days later. So this was really, and when you say rare meteorological territory, it's really unprecedented.
Bill has been at WGN TV in the weather department for 25 years. Let's talk about that Iowa tornado over the weekend. It got upgraded to an E4.
It did, Lisa. Yeah, it was just a devastating sequence of events. I mean, there were multiple supercellular thunderstorms that occurred that swept across Iowa, producing several tornadoes. The two supercells in southern Iowa produced three tornadoes. Meanwhile, a long track supercell tornado produced multiple tornadoes from the southwest corner of Iowa all the way through central Iowa and east central Iowa. The largest tornado moved across Madison, Warren, Polk, Jasper counties for nearly 70 miles, which is just stunning, and produced peak winds of 170 miles per hour. This was the first EF4 tornado to hit Iowa since October 4th of 2013. And it was also the second longest tornado in Iowa since 1980, so really stunning. And an offshoot of that thunderstorm, which unfortunately produced devastating consequences. Six people perished, including a couple of children. Just horrible situation that evolved Saturday afternoon. But that line of thunderstorms then progressed east and moved into our area. So we followed that beautiful 70-degree afternoon on Saturday with that line of storms that moved through around 10, 11 o'clock at night and swept the area with 60 to 70 mile per hour winds. Even out towards Rockford, they had wind gusts near 80 miles per hour. So this was quite a squall line that moved in.
Bill, let's talk about this Saturday, 12:45. They dye the river green. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day parade in the city on Saturday, on the south side on Sunday.
Yeah.
Everybody wants good weather. What do you got for us?
You know what, Lisa? It's I wish I could tell you that it was going to be a repeat of last Saturday with 70 degrees, but the good news is it looks dry. We're going to have a pretty good shot of cold air that's coming in. So, unfortunately, the highs are going to be at unseasonably low levels for this time of the year. Normal high on Saturday would be in the mid-40s. We're looking at highs potentially not getting out of the high 20s. Like I said, the good news is there won't be any precipitation, so there should be at least a partly sunny sky, and so there won't be any issues with getting that river dyed green.
My guess is that more people will be consuming Jamesons to warm up.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Time to get a check on weather. Well, we've got the weather, but traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Dent. Lauren Lapka's here. Kevin Paul is at the sports desk, and Mary Vandeveld's got an eye on traffic. And with weather this afternoon is Bill Snyder. He's been in the weather department for 25 years at WGN-TV. And we've got a question. Lisa is on the phone. And, of course, if you've got a question for Bill, it's always nice to have somebody that can answer any weather question. He's here. So our number is 312-981-7200. But you already knew that, Lisa. What's your question for Bill?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. We sometimes chat on Twitter, and after that grim short-term forecast, was wondering if we can start predicting when the last frost will be this season, and if not, if it's too early, when can we start talking about that?
You know what, Lisa? That of course varies depending on where you're at here in the Chicago area. You know, the Fox Valley locations out towards Rockford, McHenry County, Aurora, those areas, to be completely safe as far as planting goes, the last frost, you almost have to wait until early May. And, you know, as a general theme, we kind of tend to tell people as far as to be safe, completely safe from frost is right around Mother's Day. That seems to be like the target date for when we're, you know, not likely to see any more frost. You know, certain years it can be earlier. And I mean, we've had a frost, believe it or not. Now, this was a rare situation, but we've had a frost as late as right before Memorial Day back in 1992. Now, that was an extreme circumstance, and I don't, you know, that doesn't happen every year. But usually, I mean, once we get through April and into the first part of May, we can start, you know, putting the frost and frigid temperatures behind us and can start thinking about our gardens and flower beds and so forth.
Lisa, you're obviously a gardener, and you're itching already to get something planted, aren't you?
I am. I guess I'm just going to have to start some things indoors to keep me happy for a little while.
Well, and the problem is you go to Home Depot, or I was in Menards over the weekend, and they've got all the seeds out, and you're like, okay, I've got to buy some of this stuff. And we know we're a long way away from putting it in the ground, but yeah, why not get started inside?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Bill Snyder is with us from WGN-TV. 312 text, April 1967. Tornadoes, Oak Lawn High School destroyed. We were in North Barrington with a hit. It snowed that day after a warm, humid day. I want to say that was probably late April. It's amazing how weather, these weather events, you never forget them. If you experienced it, especially if it was traumatic, you never forget where you were in that date, do you?
No, not at all, Lisa. And that, you know, as we were talking about earlier, that was an incredible year, even to start with in January when we had the biggest snowstorm that till this day still stands as our biggest snowstorm on record in January. And then as the texter was alluding to, we had a devastating tornado outbreak in April. And then that as they were cleaning up the rubble from that tornado, we ended up getting about 3 inches of snow a couple of days later. So it's really, really stunning the changes that can occur. And that was quite a year, at least to start with.
And Bill, do you work hand in hand with Tom Skilling?
I do every day. You know, when he's not here, I work closely with our other meteorologists here. I work with Demetrius Ivory, and I work with occasionally Tim Joyce and Mike Jansen. So we had a good team over here. But I have to say that you know, Tom has certainly taught me a lot over the year and over 25 years. It's kind of, you can't, when you're absorbed in an atmosphere such as this one over here, it's kind of hard not to pick up on certain things and tendencies. And my goodness, Tom certainly has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to meteorology. He's been through it all, and he's certainly seen it all.
He is the go-to guy in the entire Midwest. And so why haven't you ever jumped on camera?
That's a good question. You know, to be honest, Lisa, I did do a little camera work in college, and there is a video somewhere floating around here, and I'm rather embarrassed by it. But, you know, that was my gosh, over 25 years ago, back in the mid-90s. But I don't know that. I don't have a good answer for that because I've just been so absorbed with our day-to-day operations here, and I think that just hasn't the situation hasn't come up, and so I've just been too busy with keeping Tom afloat and our other meteorologists here. But it's certainly, you're not the first person to ask me that question, so it's interesting that other people have kind of caught on to that and thought, hey, why don't you do a little on-camera work?
Yeah. So
maybe down the road I will, you know.
708 has a memory. They said April 2nd, 1964, it was Easter, and we had a snow blizzard.
Okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
We've even though we're getting to that time of the year now where the days are growing longer, we're still gaining more than 2 minutes of daylight each day. And the sun, as I know you guys were talking about earlier, how, you know, outside, even for a little bit and you're in the sun, it feels good. Well, the sun is three times stronger than it was back in December. So it's no coincidence that you feel a lot warmer today than you would have, say, back in late December. But with that being said, we still can get snow, and we've had snow into the second week of April before, a couple of doozies, as a matter of fact. Now, the only good news is if you're not a fan of snow, and I mean most people at this point in the season are kind of getting ready for spring, is that doesn't last. You know, it is, as evidenced by the snow we had yesterday. I mean, majority of it's already melted, and just the strength of that sunlight does a number on the snow cover this time of the year. It's not around very long.
Bill Snyder is with us. He's a WGN-TV weather producer. And what are the three big stories, or at least a couple of the big stories, that you'll be featuring or you're focusing on today?
Well, you know what, Lisa? We have another fairly nice day ahead tomorrow, kind of like today, a couple degrees warmer. We'll have some clouds in the morning, but those should move out, and we should be treated to mostly sunny skies much of the day. There is another weather disturbance that's moving in later in the day on Thursday, and kind of similar to the last one. I don't think it may produce as much snow as what we had yesterday, but we are looking for some another round of light snow later in the day Thursday night, and could even spill over into early Friday morning. We're not expecting, you know, huge accumulations with this, but at this point in time, it you know, could we get 1 to 3 inches? It's possible. But then the big story too, beyond this 7 day forecast, we actually have some models, Lisa, that are indicating by mid to late next week, even in time for actual St. Patrick's Day, that we could get some real unseasonable warmth in here. So I wish it would be timed for the Chicago parade on Saturday. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case, as it's going to be a pretty cold day. But as we get into next week, I think we've got some 60s back here later next week. And my gosh, it's not even inconceivable that we could flirt with 70 degrees again like we did this past Saturday. So those temperatures become more and more common as we go along, because you just the days continue to lengthen and the sun continues to get stronger. And, you know, we'll turn the clocks clocks ahead this weekend on Saturday night, and we'll have by Sunday the sunset will be beyond 7 o'clock, so we've got that to look forward to.
Thank you so much for joining us, Bill. We appreciate it.
Lisa, always a pleasure. Lisa, take care.
So 20 in the 20s for a high for the St. Pat's parades this weekend, and maybe 70 next week. Our conversation with Bill is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems, and Lauren has the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.